Nevesesha Sunyavadi Paskatide Sacharade. Om Devata Tanam Tanam Salakaya Saksu Smritandena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manavishtam Stapikam Jena Vitale Swayam Upakadamayam Datati Sapandantikam Manasikopatrubhyascha Kripasindubhayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Cowherd boys, and not only Krishna and the cowherd boys, but Vatsa. How do you say Vatsa in Hindi?
Vatsa.
Very good. So I want to read it again, but this time we'll also hear some of the comments of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. So the first verse begins. Oops. One day, Krishna decided to take his breakfast as a picnic in the forest. So immediately, this is amazing. Why is it amazing? One day, Krishna decided to take his breakfast as a picnic in the forest. What is amazing about that? We usually think
he
of...
He always went to the forest every day.
But he was just a little boy. But he decided to take his breakfast as a picnic in the forest. What struck me as amazing is that when we think of God, Supreme Lord, we think of Him as all-knowing. He knows everything in the past and present and in the future. But obviously Krishna didn't know in the future that he was going to take his picnic in the forest, because one day he decided he was going to take the picnic in the forest. So what does this mean? Does this mean he really didn't decide and it just says Sukadeva is saying that he decided? Or does it mean that he really doesn't know everything, past, present, and future? What's your analysis of what it means? And just imagine how boring it would be that all the living entities can decide to do things, but only Krishna can't decide to do anything.
Because
he already knows everything. It's like everything is like a movie that you've seen 50,000 times already. Oh no, do we have to watch this again? I already know everything. So Krishna, especially when he's in his private quarters of Vrindavan, he knows what is suitable for his ecstasies and for the ecstasies of the devotees. His consciousness becomes compressed. But not really, not compressed. It's not lessened in any way. But of course, we can't understand, and this is the obvious point, ultimately, that we can't understand what it's like, how he thinks, because he's unlimited. No one can understand, he explains in the Bhagavad Gita, that no one understands his source, for example. No one understands him in full. He doesn't even understand himself in full, because his energies are always increasing. So exactly how one day he decided is not possible for us to understand, but in the simplest way, which is probably the most accurate way, amazingly enough, is that when Krishna is with his friends, and in Braja, his consciousness becomes quite different than when he's sitting on the throne of being the Parameshwara. His consciousness becomes quite different. It's dominated by his love for his devotees. That's what dominates Braja. And his devotees love him. So one day, Krishna decided to take his breakfast as a picnic in the forest. So, yes, Krishna wanted to take breakfast. That's also amazing. In Jagannath Puri, he eats 52 times a day. That's it. It's like his the main way of serving him is feeding him. But in Vrindavan, that's also a main way of serving him, but it is not the only way. So what did Krishna do? He woke up early. He blew his bugle made of horn. And he woke up all the cowherd boys and calves with its beautiful sound. Then Krishna and the boys, keeping their respective groups of calves before them, proceeded from Brajabhumi to the forest. Here's the comment of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Just part of the comment. One day, Quatchit Krishna decided to enjoy a picnic in the forest. Only Krishna's name, Hari, is mentioned, indicating that Rohini forcibly kept Balaram at home in order to bathe him and perform auspicious rites on his birthday. So that means the from the point of vision of Chakravarti Thakur, this pastime took place quite soon, because it's quite soon, it's Balaram's appearance day. When is Balaram's appearance day? 24th of August. And we're almost in August. So it is hot. What month is it? I think it's called Bhadra. Yes? Anyone know? Bhadra. And what's the month after Bhadra? Before Karti. No, that's before. What's the month after Bhadra? Aswin? So Jiva Goswami says Krishna went and woke up Balaram also. Krishna woke up Balaram, and Balaram was getting ready. And then, just as they were about to leave, Srila Jiva Goswami says, Balaram came and said, somehow or another, my uncle from the Pur dynasty has come to my door, and he's standing there as immovably as a tree, and there's nothing I can do about it. I have to stay home. So the different acharyas have seen this wonderful person in a little bit different ways. So at that time, hundreds and thousands of cowherd boys came out of their respective homes in Brajabhumi. Hundreds and thousands of cowherd boys. Hundreds and thousands. Unlimited cowherd boys. And Krishna had called them all by his bugle. And by bugling them, just like we understand that the flute can call the different persons by their very names, and no one else gets called. Simply the Krishna's bugle can call. It enters the heart. That Rishikesh Baba said it like you have a mobile phone and you set it up with many, many different numbers, and you can just send an SMS to hundreds of people at one time. So Krishna does that, and he has so many different everyone's number. He has everyone's number. So So there were hundreds and thousands of groups of calves, because each boy had its group of calves. I think Srila Jiva Goswami brings the numbers up to millions even. Because there's unlimited boys, unlimited calves, and unlimited space in Vrindavan, because Vrindavan expands unlimitedly, because it's unlimited. And of course this is not possible for us to understand. For instance, it describes that Vaikuntha is unlimited in size, and of all the unlimited Vaikuntha planets, Vrindavan is the biggest. So how are you going to have an unlimited planet and another unlimited planet that's bigger than the last unlimited planet? Now, you can build that? You can sign it off? No, you can't. You can't program it. You can't do anything. It's not, we can't conceive of this. But Vrindavan is the biggest. It's the vastest. And it contracts and expands in the service of Krishna just according to the needs. So the boys were very beautiful. They were equipped with their lunch bags, bugles, flutes, and sticks for controlling the calves. Vishnu Sukhavati Thakur says they were holding sticks, horns, flutes, and lunch bags. Sahasra Pari Sankhya means 10,000. Krishna had an asankhya number of calves. Now this is what asankhya means. It is one followed by 17 zeros. So if you think in lakhs and crores or millions and billions, that's 17 zeros. Now you're going to tell us what it is? So three zeros is 1,000. Six zeros is 1,000,000. Nine zeros is 1,000,000,000,000. Billion. 12 zeros is 1,000,000,000,000. 15 zeros is, what is it?
Google.
That's what they say. It's a Google. Is that what they got the name from?
Zillion.
We already had trillion, zillions, quadrillions. Google. Google. Let's Google it and find out.
Is that a real name? A Google?
Yeah, that is a...
Or they just made up recently?
No, it is... I think Google came up with that name from the unlimited kind of number.
So anyway, that's how many calves Krishna had by himself. Now, one should not argue that such a large number of calves could not possibly fit into the 32 square mile area of Vrindavan. Because the Dham is unlimited by the inconceivable energy of the Lord, even a small portion of the holy Dham is sufficient to accommodate billions of universes, each measuring 50 million miles in diameter. Krishna showed this to Brahma in a later chapter. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita says there is no question of impediments, obstacles, or limitations, because the Lord, His associates, and His holy Dham have inconceivable power and tanti shakti. Krishna's coward boyfriends were ornamented by their mothers with necklaces of crystal and gunja seed beads before they entered the forest. And once in the forest, they ornamented themselves with forest fruits and flowers. Text 3. So what a scene. All the boys were ornamented, and there were thousands and millions of boys, and they had millions of, and they're noticing calves when they're young and frisky, they bounce along the ground sometimes when they jump. They have so much energy. They're jumping and frolicking, and the boys are playing their flutes and their bugles, and they're dressed beautifully, and everything is colorful, and the forest is beautiful, and Krishna is beautiful, and there's just countless numbers of calves and boys and Krishna. And Vrindavan is reciprocating. And everyone again is decorated with jewels. And then the forest flowers. So what a colorful festival. Srila Jiva Goswami, he says that Krishna asked, his mother gave permission. And we heard yesterday how Kavi Kanapur actually had said that his mother first wouldn't give permission, but he said he was going to do it anyway, and then she gave permission. Of course she gave permission. Because Krishna was a good boy, Dhruv. He always did everything with his mother's permission. Now, although these boys were already decorated, this is text 4, by their mothers with ornaments of kacha, gunja, pearls, and gold, very opulent, when they went into the forest, they further decorated themselves with fruits, green leaves, bunches of flowers, peacock feathers, and soft minerals. All the coward boys used to steal one another's lunch bags. When a boy came to understand that his lunch bag had been stolen, the other boys would throw it further away to a more distant place, and those standing there would throw it still further. When the proprietor of the bag, when the boy became disappointed, the other boys would, they would laugh. He would be upset and they would laugh. And then the owner of the lunch bags, he would cry, and then the bag would be returned. Bishnoi says, the coward boys used to steal each other's articles. One boy would steal another's food container, take it to a distant place, and hide it under a tree surrounded by thorn bushes and red ants. When the boy whose lunch bag was stolen tried to retrieve it, other boys would throw it further away. And when he ran after it, they would throw it still further. And the boy would cry, and the other boys would laugh and return his lunch bag. If you remember, we also heard that sometimes the boys would take out food, and they would eat it, and they would replace it with their own. And this way, everything was very sweet and wonderful. And they would do this with Krishna too, and Krishna would also cry. Text 6. Sometimes Krishna would go to a somewhat distant place to see the beauty of the forest. Krishna would send all the boys first. Go find the calves. Everyone find the calves. The calves are wandering far away. And then, when the boys had gone off to find the calves, then Krishna would go to a distant place to see the beauty of the forest. And Srila Jiva Goswami said that the boys wouldn't see Krishna because he would go to a distant place. But they would capture his fragrance with their nostrils. And that wonderful, unmistakable fragrance of Krishna, they would follow that, and that would lead them to where Krishna was. So then all the boys would run to accompany him. They would run after Krishna. And one would say, Aham Purvam, Aham Purvam, Iti Samsprisha Re Mire. I shall be the first to run and touch Krishna. I shall be the first. I shall touch Krishna first. In this way, they enjoyed life by repeatedly touching Krishna. Because Krishna's, to be in contact with Krishna is the cause of enjoyment for the soul. Vishnu says, one boy would say, I will touch Krishna first. And the others say, no, no, I will touch Krishna first. All the boys would be differently engaged. Some boys blew their flutes. and others blew bugles made of horns. So the boys who were blowing the bugles, they would blow in a very wonderful way. And the boys who had their flutes, they would say, "Oh, bugles sound terrible. Listen to this." And they would play their flutes. And some would imitate the buzzing of the bumblebees. And others imitate the voice of the cuckoo. What's that coil? Who can make the coil sound? Where is Dina Bandhu Prabhu when we need him? You know coil sound? You know it? You do know how to make, but you're shy. How does it sound? Something like that. In certain season. So many coils. You know how to make coil sound?
I don't. The coil is supposed to be the sweetest of sounds.
And when I was in Hong Kong last time, there was a coil somehow outside. And it was so nice because it sounded just like a Vrindavan coil. And it reminded one of Vrindavan, which is much better than it being Vrindavan and being reminded, oh, it's just like, this is just like Hong Kong. Some boys imitated the buzzing of the bumblebees, and the Vrindavan bumblebees, very, very big. And some imitated the voice of the cuckoo. Some boys imitated flying birds by running after the bird's shadow on the ground. And some imitated the beautiful movements and attractive postures of the swans with their necks like this. Some sat down with the ducks, sitting silently, and others imitated the dancing of the peacocks, with their necks moving back and forth and back and forth. Some boys attracted young monkeys in the trees, and some jumped into the trees, imitating the monkeys. Some made faces that the monkeys were accustomed to do. You know how to make monkey faces? So when they're angry, their ears go like this. You ever seen that? Their ears go like that. Are there monkeys in Gujarat? Yeah? Like those Bandur type?
Bandur?
Sorry. Sorry. Yes, they have those in Gujarat? We saw even in Bangladesh they have those, a little bit different. Because the ones in Vrindavan, of course, speak Hindi and those speak Mangala. But aside from that, it's a little bit different, but they have the same characteristics.
A lot of monkeys in Govardhan. A lot of.
Too many.
And all that Govardhan village boys. They sell peanuts
and chickpeas, channa, to feed the monkeys. The monkeys just cause trouble.
If you give one, like so many monkeys come, so many, oh my God, countless.
We don't. And they have no manners. I know one devotee who walked out of Govardhan Palace with some chapati to feed the cows. And the monkey came and bit him, even though he was going to feed the cow.
Ooh.
Who? That's the owl. Vrindavan owl. Some made faces that the monkeys were accustomed to do, and other boys jumped from one branch to another. Some boys went to the waterfalls and crossed over the river, jumping with the frogs. And when they saw their own reflection on the water, they would laugh. They would also condemn the sounds of their own echoes. You're a rascal. And then the echo would come back. You're a rascal. And they, what? How dare you call me a rascal? How dare you call me a rascal? And they said they would play. In this way, all the coward boys used to play with Krishna, who was the source of the Brahman effulgence for jnanis desiring to merge into that effulgence, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead for devotees who have accepted eternal servitorship, and who for ordinary persons is but an ordinary child. The coward boys, having accumulated the results of pious activities for many lives, were able to associate in this way with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can one explain their great fortune? So that's a famous verse. Sitam Satam Ramasukhana Bhutya. But that same one who the impersonalists, they're experiencing Brahmasukh, that it's coming from him, that Brahmani effulgence. And Dasyam Gataram Paradai Vitvena. And the devotees serve him. Maya Shritananam Narapungavena. So that can be one out of two meanings. One can mean the ordinary persons, as it's translated here, that see him as an ordinary boy, or the coward boys being so exalted treat him like an ordinary boy. But Sakyam Vicharu Krita Punja Punja. This is so extraordinary. And the boys have taken no inestimable piety to attain this position of being able to play with Krishna in such an intimate way. Unlimited piety for many, many, many births. Extraordinary, the most extraordinary. Here's the comment of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. The coward boys blew bugles made of buffalo horns. They chased the shadows of the birds and pulled the tails of the baby monkeys. And then what happens when you pull the tails of the baby monkeys? Usually, the babies don't know what to do, but everyone else comes. All the other monkeys in the family get very upset. They protect their children. They get very angry. You have a monkey problem at your house, yes?
When nobody is there, they are alone there.
It's their place.
Do they come inside?
No, they can't.
It's got bars.
We on the roof.
The breaking.
On the wall outside.
The breaking.
They break only the plants.
Whatever they can break. If you have your laundry outside, they'll break it. But you know, it's funny. Sometimes the Vrindavan people, they'll say, "Oh, actually, the municipality, there were too many monkeys, so they took all the Vrindavan monkeys in trucks and took them away." And then bad monkeys came. And these are the bad monkeys. They're not locals. They came from outside. These. So then the boys would climb the trees by grabbing the tails of the monkeys hanging from the branches. And after imitating the funny faces of the monkeys, the boys would jump from tree branch to branch. They leaped after the frogs into pools of water, which were created by the cascading waterfalls. What a beautiful scene. Upon seeing the reflections on the water, they would laugh heartily. Raising their arms, the boys would shout loudly in a playful mood. Then they would curse their echo, saying, "Are, who is that speaking?" And hearing a single syllable echo back, the boys would become angry. What is this? The echo would reply, Ray, Ray, Ray. And the boys would say, today you will die. In this way, they would curse again and again, and it would never come to an end, because the echoes would come back. And after describing the playing of the coward boys, this verse shows the unique good fortune of the Brijbasis as compared with others. There are three types of people in this world, Karmis, Gyanis, and Bhaktis. The word Satam indicates those Gyanis who possess some trace of devotion. The inhabitants of Braja used to play freely with Krishna, who is the source of the knowledge and happiness the Gyanis seek in Brahman. One can understand from this that Krishna's body, with which the Brijbasis played, contains the Brahman. The word Satam, transcendentalists, cannot apply to those Gyanis who think that Krishna's body is material. The phrase Dasya Ganana refers to all the genuine devotees beside the Brijbasis who see Krishna as their worshipable Lord. The Brijbasis were so fortunate that they directly played with Krishna, who was seen by these other devotees as their reverend Lord. The Brijbasis joyfully sported with Krishna, who is perceived by an ordinary human, Naradharakena, by the materialistic sense enjoyers covered by the illusory potency, Maya Sri Tananam. The Gyanis have realization of Krishna, but they cannot play with him. The Dasya Bhaktis, the Lord's surrendered servants, worship Krishna in reverence, but they are not qualified to play with him. The Karmis have no respect for Krishna, so that they neither realize nor worship him, what to speak of playing with him. Although Krishna is made of complete bliss, he experiences intense ecstasy playing with the Brijbasis in various pastimes of love. They too attain the pinnacle, topmost joy in his association. Therefore, the Brijbasis were more fortunate than all others, Krita Punja. Of course, this is a material viewpoint. For the Nitya Siddha Brijbasis, Krishna's eternal associates, who far surpass the Gyanis and Dasya Bhaktis, the cause of the playing with Krishna is not material piety, punya. Here the word punya, krita punya punya, can only mean activities pleasing to Krishna, by which Krishna comes under the devotee's control. It does not mean material piety or heaps of good deeds. Yogis may undergo severe austerities and penances for many births by practicing yam, niyam, asan, pranayam, none of which are easily performed. Yet in due course of time, when these yogis attain the perfection of controlling the mind, they will still be unable to taste even a particle of dust from the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then can we describe about the great fortune of the inhabitants of Brajabhumi, Vrindavan, with whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally lived, and who saw the Lord from face to face? So how wonderful and rare is the situation of the residents of Vrindavan, who had such an intimate relationship with Krishna. So how did they attain that intimate relationship with Krishna? So there are different levels. The ones who are Nitya Siddha devotees, they don't attain it. They eternally have their relationship with Krishna. And then those who perform sadhana to attain it, this association with Krishna, it may take them an extreme amount of time. Of what type of punya? Punya to act in such a way that Krishna will be pleased. But this is the ultimate attainment, to have an intimate relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here's Vishnu's comment on that verse. What to speak of playing with Krishna, even establishing a relationship with Krishna, is very rare. That is the intent of this verse. The yogis cannot attain even one particle of dust of Krishna's feet. Nor can the yogis attain even one particle of reflected light from the trees of Vrindavan. So after describing these pastimes of Krishna that are so intimate and so wonderful, but so ordinary sounding in one sense, then Sukadeva Goswami is putting the activities that we have just heard about in the perspective of Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how rare it is to attain the kind of situation that the Brijbasis have. How rare it is. What incredible fortune. Those who fully concentrate their minds cannot attain Krishna. Thus it was stated earlier that Krishna is sukapa, not easily obtained. Swayam stita, being self-situated, indicates that Krishna does not depend even on the performance of sadhana. Oh, what great fortune! Oh, what a happy festival! Who can describe the good fortune or happiness of the Brijbasis who constantly see Krishna? Such fortune is unobtainable by the yogis. Though they can concentrate their minds for lifetimes, they cannot attain even a particle of dust at Krishna's feet. My dear Prickett, so now the pastime is going to shift after describing the great playing and the ecstasies, ecstatic intimacy experienced by the residents of Vrindavan with Krishna. My dear Prickett, there appeared a great demon named Agasura, whose death was being awaited even by the demigods. The demigods drank nectar every day, but still they feared this great demon and awaited his death. The demon could not tolerate the transcendental pleasure being enjoyed in the forest by the cowherd boys. What is that called? Yes, it's called envy. And he's Agasura, so he's sinful, therefore he's envious. And envy... he was in the shape of a snake. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, seeing that the boys were relishing ever-increasing bliss by playing, and that they would not stop playing, and knowing that they would not take time out to eat, and that the eating time had already passed, and seeing that it was also necessary to kill a demon, Krishna's Lila Shakti inspired the Agasura demon through the Supersoul, and brought him near the boys. So this would get them to stop playing, because they would never stop. They were enjoying so much. Agasura could not tolerate the fun the boys were having. The various sports they played filled the boys with pleasure, but the demon experienced only suffering. The demigods who drink the celestial nectar were afraid of being killed by this demon, so they eagerly awaited his death. Yad Anta can also refer to playing, and Anta can mean the heart. Then the meaning would be Agasura could not tolerate the gopas playing, which is meditated upon by the demigods, which alone gave them the desire to maintain their lives, though they already drank nectar. Amrit. Agasura, this is text 14, who had been sent by Kamsa, was the younger brother of Putana and Bakasura. Therefore, when he came and saw Krishna at the head of all the cowherd boys, he thought, this Krishna has killed my brother and my sister, Bakasura and Putana. Therefore, in order to please them both, I shall kill Krishna along with his assistants, the other cowherd boys. Agasura thought, if somehow or other I can make Krishna and his associates serve the last offering of sesame and water for the departed souls of my brother and sister, then the inhabitants of Brajabhumi, for whom these boys are the life and soul, will automatically die. If there is no life, there is no need for the body. Consequently, when their sons are dead, naturally all the inhabitants of Braja will die. So Vishnu says, he explains it the way that he was thinking. What a thinker. If the beloved child Krishna dies, then Nanda, Yasoda, and all the rest of the Brijbasis will automatically die without our having to kill them. I'll just kill Krishna, and all my purposes will be accomplished. Everyone will die. After thus deciding, that crooked Agasura assumed the form of a huge python, as thick as a big mountain, and as long as 8 miles. Having assumed this wonderful python's body, he spread his mouth like a big cave in the mountains, and lay down on the road, expecting to swallow Krishna and his associates, the cowherd boys. So he was one yojana in length, and as huge as a mountain, and his mouth spread open like a mountain cave. His lower lip rested on the surface of the earth, and his upper lip was touching the clouds in the sky. The borders of his mouth resembled the sides of a big cave of a mountain, and the middle of his mouth was as dark as possible. His tongue resembled a broad road, traffic way. His breath was like a warm wind, and his eyes blazed like fire. Upon seeing the demon's wonderful form, which resembled a great python, Ajagara, the boys thought that it must be a beautiful scenic spot of Vrindavan, because the Vrindavan forest was always making newer and more wonderful things for Krishna to do and see and play and to host his pastimes. So first they thought this wonderful cave was certainly some creation of the Vrindavan forest. But other boys A few boys thought that Agasura was a big snake, so they started to run away upon seeing it. Excuse me. Oops. Upon seeing this demon's wonderful form, which resembled a great python, the boys thought it must be a beautiful scenic spot of Vrindavan. Thereafter, they imagined it to be similar to the mouth of a great python. In other words, the boys, unafraid, thought that it was a statue made in the shape of a great python for the enjoyment of their pastimes. A few boys thought that Agasura was a big snake, so they started to run away upon seeing it. Other boys, however, thought that Agasura was simply a wonderful scenic spot of Vrindavan. They comforted their fearful friends, saying, "Oh fools, a snake can never be as big as this. It is just some statue fashioned by the Lord so that we can appreciate the splendor of Vrindavan even more. Krishna made it look like a huge snake with a big gaping mouth." In this way, the cowherd boys thought the Lord's creation was something like the gaping mouth of the serpent, of a serpent made just for pastimes. The boys said, "Dear friends, is this creature dead? Or is it actually a living python, with its mouth spread wide just to swallow us all? Kindly clear up this doubt, because pythons, their trick is to lie completely still for ever so long with their mouth wide open until some creature ventures and then finish." Some boys called out to their elder friends to confirm their thoughts. "Is this some kind of immovable living entity? The word kuta means peak, indicating some large animal. Is it some resting tiger or some big animal waiting to devour us with its open mouth?" Thereafter they decided, "Dear friends, this is certainly satyam arka karan raktam. This is certainly an animal sitting here to swallow us up. Its upper lip resembles a cloud reddened by the sunshine, and its lower lip resembles the reddish shadows of a cloud. On the left and right, the two depressions resembling mountain caves are the corners of its mouth, and the high mountain peaks are its teeth. Its length and breadth, the animal's tongue, resembles a broad road, a broad traffic way, and inside of its mouth it's very, very dark, like a cave in a mountain. The hot fiery wind is the breath coming out of its mouth, which is giving off the bad smell of burning flesh because of all the dead bodies he has eaten. Then the boy said, has this living creature come to swallow us? If he does so, he will immediately be killed like Bakasura without delay by Krishna. Thus they looked at the beautiful face of Krishna, the enemy of Bakasura, and laughing loudly and clapping their hands, they entered the mouth of the python. Vishwanatha's comment. Some of the boys spoke with a little fear. If this creature is really a snake, he may swallow us if we enter his mouth. One boy replied to pacify them. If that is so, then in an instant Krishna will kill him just as he vanquished Baka. Krishna is right here, so why should we worry? Saying this, the boy smiled and looked towards Krishna, who was standing some distance away. Getting this confirmation, all the coward boys began to laugh loudly while speaking. Oh, suckers, let us find out what is in that mouth. Then they entered the demon's mouth out of boyish curiosity, and clapping their hands to show their courage and fearlessness, or to dismiss the snake, the boys ran inside the snake's gaping mouth. The calves ran after them with their tails raised. 25. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who is situated as Antayami, the super soul in the core of everyone's heart, heard the boys talking amongst themselves about the artificial python. Unknown to them, it was actually Agasura, a demon who had appeared as a python. Krishna, knowing this, wanted to forbid his associates to enter the demon's mouth. Hearing the boys talk about the snake as if it was something unreal, Krishna began to think, what is actually a snake's mouth, my friend? Excuse me, what is actually a snake's mouth? My friends think it is some wonderful scenery of Vrindavan. This is not just a snake, but it's a demon. It is Agasura. How did Krishna know this? He knows everything because he's situated in everyone's heart as the super soul, Antayami. Krishna then decided to prevent his boyfriends from entering the snake's mouth. So Krishna, here again, just like Krishna decided in the morning to go and have a lunch, he did something uncharacteristic of the all-knowing Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all-powerful. Here, something even more amazing is going to happen. He decided to prevent his boyfriends from entering the snake's mouth. He's all-powerful. He's the Parameshwara. Nothing can stop him. Once he decides something, nothing can stop him. So he decided that the boys shouldn't enter the snake's mouth. So, is the pastime going to be over? Were the boys not entering the snake's mouth? No, something still more amazing is going to happen. 26. Krishna made that decision. In the meantime, while Krishna was considering how to stop them, all the coward boys entered the mouth of the demon against Krishna's will. The demon, however, did not swallow them, for he was thinking of his own relatives who had been killed by Krishna. So he didn't want to just kill the coward boys. He especially wanted to kill Krishna, so he didn't close his mouth then. He thought, if I keep my mouth open, then certainly Krishna will also enter. And he is the one I want to kill. And with Krishna dead, then everyone in Vrindavan will die of a broken heart. He was waiting for Krishna to enter his mouth. to the wisdom of Chakrabarti causes. Just as Krishna decided to stop them, the boys entered the serpent's mouth, but the serpent did not swallow them. Why? Because he was remembering the death of his brother and sister at the hands of the Lord, so he was waiting for Krishna to enter. One should not think that Krishna's Satyasankalpa Shakti, his potency that fulfills all of his desires, was thwarted, stopped, because Krishna could not stop the boys from entering the serpent's mouth, though he wanted to. On the other hand, Krishna's devotees had a desire to be saved by Krishna if by chance they were swallowed by the demon. So there were two desires going on at the same time. One is the boys were desiring to have a pastime in which they were saved by Krishna, and Krishna naturally, of course, was desiring, how could he desire anything else than to not have the boys enter, because after all, he loved them. How could he want them to enter? He knew it was an Agasura. So how could he say, yes, let them enter? He didn't want them to enter. But the boys wanted the pastime of being saved by Krishna, because how wonderful it is, how intimate it is to be saved by Krishna. So, of the two desires, the desire of the devotee prevails, according to the principle that the Lord is controlled by his devotees. This was perfectly arranged by Krishna's ever-watchful Lila Shakti, which harmonized everything by removing all seeming contradictions. So the Lila Shakti had to work this out. What was going to happen next? Because the Lila Shakti was thinking Krishna's pleasure, that Krishna is most pleased when the devotees are pleased. So then Vishwanath will explain it directly what he did. Krishna saw that all the cowherd boys, this is text 26. Krishna saw that all the cowherd boys who did not know anyone but him as their Lord, had now gone out of his hand and were helpless, having entered like straws into the fire of the abdomen of Agasura, who was death personified. It was intolerable of Krishna to be separated from his friends, the cowherd boys. Therefore, as if seeing that this had been arranged by his internal potency, Krishna was momentarily struck with wonder and unsure of what to do. He saw the boys winning. He didn't want it to happen. And he understood, look how my Yogamaya is working, my Lila Shakti specifically. And he was amazed that his Lila Shakti had gone against his own desire. Vishwanath comments. So he became unsure what to do for a moment, unsure. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, seeing that the boys were helplessly beyond his control, like jewels slipping from one's hand, and that they were entering like straws into the fire of the snake's stomach, Krishna became filled with compassion. Krishna was astonished at the actions of his Lila Shakti, or of time, in making the cowherd boys enter the serpent's mouth. What was the cause of the Lord's astonishment? The Lord thought, it is not possible for these cowherd boys to have Parabdha Karma. It means the manifestation of karma, of fruit of activities that we carry with us when we have a material body. Because that is not so easily destroyed. Because if we didn't have any karma, would mean we wouldn't have a material body. Because the body is composed of our karma, it's made up of our karma. And then if we wouldn't have a material body, we would die. We couldn't perfect our spiritual life. But the cowherd boys, this couldn't be happening to them because of their Parabdha karma. Because they're all perfect. It is not possible for these coward boys to have Parabdha karma. Besides, the Supersoul does not give them the tendency for karma. Because the Supersoul is my expansion. and does not do anything unfavorable to me. Therefore, my Lila Shakti has made this unseemingly unfavorable arrangement with the desire to put me, who is wrapped up in prema, in a compassionate mood, wants to bring out my karunaras, my compassion. This is my Lila Shakti, melting my heart. It astonishes me how she controls me, the very form of all rasa and the king of all lilas. I'm Lila Purushottam, and she is controlling me by making me feel bad. Karuna ras, compassion, my heart is melting. Though Krishna's sorrow due to separation from his friends remained, it somehow reduced with the rise of astonishment. That is the meaning here, Vishnu says. 28. Now what is to be done? How could both the killing of this demon and the saving of the devotees be performed simultaneously? Because if Krishna went and the demon was there, and if he just killed the demon, chopped off his head with a chakra or something like that, like the Lord did when Lord Hari came to kill the crocodile who had attacked his devotee Gajendra. If Krishna did that, the boys may have been hurt. Or if Krishna just saved the boys, the demon may escape. So he decided how to do both simultaneously. He wanted to simultaneously save the boys and kill the demon. And to do that, he entered the mouth of Agasura. Vishwanath explains, what should I do in this dangerous situation? How can I kill the demon without harming the boys? After thinking in this way and finding a solution, Krishna entered the mouth of the serpent. Krishna always knows best what to do in the present and in the future. And he takes away danger for his devotees and the life of a demon. 29. When Krishna entered the mouth of Agasura, the demigods, hidden behind the clouds, exclaimed, alas, alas. But the friends of Agasura, like Kamsa and other demons, were jubilant.
How did they know?
Who? Well, it is well known that Kamsa had spies everywhere. But I'm not sure if he knew in that way. And there were no mobile phones, so no one sent him an SMS. But he seemed to know. He was always watching what was going on in Vrindavan. But it would be hard to understand how he got the news so quickly. But he was extraordinary. So somehow he knew, and he was glee, full of glee. They were jubilant, because he was thinking Krishna was entered the mouth. Finally, Krishna was going to be killed. So when Krishna entered the mouth of Agasura, the demigods hiding behind the clouds out of fear of Kamsa exclaimed, alas, alas. Though the demigods were aware of the Lord's power, because they were also devotees, they shouted in anxiety for Krishna's safety. Maybe Kamsa, actually Vishnu says, I thought maybe Kamsa heard the demigods lamenting. The intrinsic nature of bhakti is affection. And the nature of affection is to sometimes lose one's power of discrimination. Kamsa, his Rakshasa friends, and the sons and brothers of Agasura rejoiced on hearing the news from their spies. So he had a very intricate and well-formed spy network.
Can you read that again about the nature of bhakti?
Because the point being that, I'll just say the point and then I'll read it, is that the demigods, even they knew Krishna's power, because they were watching always these pastimes that were going on in the forest, and they were aware how amazing it is that the Lord is performing these pastimes of the cowherd boys. So they were being nourished by that. And Brahma was one of the demigods who was watching that, which explains what happens in the next chapter. He said, how is this possible, actually, that this boy is the Supreme Lord? So they knew that he was their master, the Supreme Lord, but yet they lamented. So what is the reconciliation of that, how, that Krishna is in a dangerous position? So the reconciliation is, though the demigods were aware of the Lord's powers, because they were also devotees, they shouted in anxiety for Krishna's safety. The intrinsic, internal, natural nature of bhakti is affection. And the nature of affection is to sometimes lose one's power of discrimination. So, and therefore, this was stated earlier, that when you have prema, there is fear. There is anxiety. It's just the very nature of prema. Because one is in anxiety for the welfare of one's beloved. It's the nature of prema. So what will happen? Who will be, who? There's a saying in English, he who laughs last, laughs loudest. Did you ever hear that? So who will be crying and who will be laughing? Will the demigods who are crying and lamenting now, will they be still crying in a few minutes? Or will Kamsa be still crying? What do you think, Bungie?
It's obvious.
It's obvious. Yes. Sometimes the question is asked, well, this is always so boring because Krishna always wins. But first of all, when we think that, what do we think? That sometimes he should lose just for so we could have excitement like that. But it's like, say if we know for a fact that we're going to be completely successful in our life, we have karma to everything we do, and we're going to be really we're going to be wealthy, we're going to have this, we're going to have that. Is that, and we know it's going to happen, that that's the result. So we're going to think that's boring? No, but we're going to go through our life seeing how it unfolds, seeing how Krishna makes the arrangements, watching the amazing way that our fate unfolds. We're not going to think, oh boy, I wish I could become poor and lose everything just for some excitement. No, we're going to be happily going through with our life, just watching it as it unfolds. So Krishna does things in his own wonderful way. But he always does win.
The fact that the boys went into his mouth and he appeared to be confused is extraordinary in terms of the unfolding of this particular moment of his liver. I don't know what's going to happen next. Mm. You may say, you know, the wind, but how, what adventures is going to happen?
Yeah, that's because Krishna, when Krishna does things, he does it in amazing ways. So one question is, the one can ask is, he already knows that he's going to win, and he already knows how he's going to win, and how he's going to, but no, it's not like that. Otherwise, if he knows everything, what's going to happen, he'll be bored. And Krishna, he doesn't like to be bored because his life is always exciting. He doesn't have to go to the office 9 to 5 every day and become bored like that. And
the Leela Shakti
has the Krishna empowers him. He's the best manager because he delegates, and he empowers the Leela Shakti not to ask him every 5 minutes, should I do this, should I do this, should I make it like this happen, should I make that happen, should I make that. No, you do it in such a way that I can be surprised. So he has that potency, the Leela Shakti has that potency. And look at the nature of the Leela Shakti, knowing the pleasure of Krishna. The Leela Shakti takes the side of the devotees because the Leela Shakti knows how to please Krishna.
It's like what the video game people, you know, the games people have the storyteller do on their behalf, sort of unfold the story, and they take part in it. It's like a perverted reflection of the leadershakti who has that power to actually unfold things, you know, that beyond the knowledge of the players, almost in the sense that you're saying, beyond the knowledge of Krishna.
No, it is beyond the knowledge of Krishna. But exactly how is that possible, we can't understand. Because we can't understand what it's like to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it's like the exact opposite of the material world. It's like in the material world, like in the spiritual, we know Krishna's always going to win. And in the material world, we know that everyone's going to lose. But in the spiritual world, the exciting part is to know, we don't know how he's going to win. In the material world, we just watch what's happening. We watch how everyone loses and in their own interesting way. You know, no one stays on top forever. That's just the nature. Neither you're a country or an empire or an individual person or a great business. No one has the authority, the power to stay on top forever. The whole karma mamangsa philosophy is a way to defeat, an attempt to defeat the very nature of the material world that crushes everything, and that also becomes defeated by the material energy, because it's not possible to follow the Vedic formulas perfectly. There's only a little bit left in this part. Because I don't want to leave, because none of you will be able to sleep tonight. Because if we're left with Krishna in the mouth of the demon, because you devotees have so much affection for Krishna, you'll be in anxiety all night long, and you'll be all night long killing all the snakes, the swords of your devotion. So Kamsa and the sons and brothers of Agasura rejoiced on hearing the news from their spies. So when the invincible Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that gives us a little hint of who's going to win, when he heard the demigods crying, "Alas, alas," from behind the clouds, he immediately enlarged himself within the demon's throat just to save himself from the coward boys, his own associates, from the demon who wanted to smash them. Purport by Vishnu. Hearing the demigod's cries of dismay and the demons rejoicing, Krishna immediately enlarged himself with the demon's throat to save himself and the cowherd boys from being crushed in Agasura's stomach. Krishna did this to reverse the sounds of lamentation from the demigods and the demon's shouts of joy. So who will be shouting in joy and who will be crying is reversed by Krishna. In the pastime of killing Shakatasura, Trinavarta, and getting tied to the grinding mortar, Krishna remained as a small child and manifested his majestic powers. Therefore, in the throat of Agasura, Krishna expanded his form to show that he did not lack the power to expand himself in size. In the Damodar Lila and other pastimes, the Lord maintained his form as a child because his devotees could taste the full sweetness within that form. Although they experienced astonishment by witnessing Krishna's prowess, it did not disturb the conception of the Lord as a child. But here, in the absence of his parents, who were relishing his sweetness, Krishna, being the Supreme Lord, adopted a more common method of just expanding himself to kill the demon. So, because he was in the belly, no one could see him anyway, so he could kill him any way he wanted. So he adopted the more common way of expanding himself, not keeping the same form. Because that's something we notice in the earlier killings of demons. Krishna and Balaram always kept their same form. So Krishna didn't bother here, because the parents weren't around and the boys couldn't see him. So then, why don't we just stop here, and then tomorrow, Krishna willing, we shall conclude.
But how can we sleep tonight?
Well, you know who's going to win.
No, you just told us how can we sleep?
Well, he's expanded himself. You want to hear the rest? You want to hear the demon make sure the demon's dead? Okay. Then, because Krishna had increased the size of his body, the demon extended his own body. He expanded to a very large size. Nonetheless, his breathing stopped, because no matter how big he could expand himself, Krishna expanded himself more, and he suffocated. And his eyes rolled here and there and popped out. The demon's life air, however, could not pass through any outlet, and therefore it finally burst out through a hole in the top of the demon's head. Vishwanath says, the demon's throat blocked up, his eyes popped out, and his life air, being trapped in the body with no outlet, finally burst out through the Brahmarandra, and he attained perfection. When all the demon's life air had passed away through that hole in the top of his head, Krishna glanced over the dead calves and cowherd boys and brought them back to life. That was what you wanted, to make sure that the boys were okay and the calves. Then Mukunda, who can give one liberation, came out of the demon's mouth with his friends and the calves. Vishwanath says, the cowherd boys and calves who had fainted due to separation from Krishna, when they were in their mouth, they fainted because they were away from Krishna. And because of the heat of the serpent's belly, were brought back to consciousness by the nectar shower of Krishna's glance. Now we'll read the last verse. Not the last verse in the chapter, but the last verse, but not the purport, because it's quite long. From the body of the gigantic python, a glaring effulgence came out. It illuminated all directions, and it stayed intravigilantly in the sky until Krishna came out of the corpse's mouth. Then, as all the demigods looked on, the effulgence entered into Krishna's body. This is extraordinary. So Vishwanath will quote Sanatana Goswami to explain how everyone could possibly see this. Because usually we don't see the soul when it leaves the body. We see the result and assume and can presume that the soul has left, but we don't actually see the soul. But here the soul was actually seen. So why? How is this possible? We shall hear tomorrow. Hare Krishna. What to do? Should we watch the Agasura puppet show now or what?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Mm. We didn't do that one, right?
Well, it's not that good.
No. it's childish. More baby.
It's madly sort of, look at it, fuzzy.
Oh.
Produce very well.
We did one too. Did we do it there? But I guess because they had that one, they.
Did we do another?
We had a nice Agasura. Remember that? Remember that? In the serpent's mouth, and it just came down. It was a wooden mouth.
Remember.
I remember very well. That was my concept. I do remember that. How to make the demon's mouth to do it straight on, and the boys. Walked in, and then there was a, and then the mouth. There was black cloth, okay. And then the mouth, and those teeth, and the teeth. It's heavy.
Let's do puppet shows again.
Kal, Abhine. Hare Krishna.